All right, the Audible is on the air. Kim Bocamper, Sam Madison here with us today. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. It's a big weekend for the Miami Dolphins. You're watching the Audible presented by Aquafina. If you're watching us, you're watching us on Periscope. You can just send your questions in at the bottom of your Periscope page. And Sam, what do you say? Let's do Friday. Friday's going to be an open phones day.
Open phone. I don't have phones,
but you go ahead and send them in. Send all your questions in. Whatever questions you want to send, we'll answer them. So just go to your Periscope page at the bottom where the message is. Send your message in. We'll go ahead and answer the question. We had a little stumble with that earlier. I was given false information that you could go to Twitter. You had to hashtag it on Twitter.
I got you.
And evidently that didn't go anywhere.
That didn't go nowhere. Yeah. So on Periscope.
So I got a letter from somebody who said, hey, I've been trying to hashtag the Audible, but I ain't getting anywhere. So we had to find a bottom line to
make
that.
Make sure you get your questions on Periscope. That's it.
Just get them on Periscope and go ahead and right at the bottom of the page, go ahead and send your message.
And then we should be able to get a lot of them in today because we don't have Harvey to take up all the talking
time. That's right. Yeah, Harvey. Yeah, it was interesting having Harvey in here,
hey,
though.
But it was good, though. It was really good information.
I tell you what, it was really interesting for people like with JT, you know, getting ready to see if he was going to go into the Hall of Fame, and then hearing from Harvey, because I really didn't know how the process worked, you know, of getting down to the final guys that were going to go into, you know, we're going to make up the class of 2017. And so it was really interesting to see how that
worked. And it's probably you getting the same thing that I was getting, you know, Sam, you know, what does it take to get into the Hall of Fame? And he was able to break it completely down for us. Have somebody in your respective city to be able to talk about you on your behalf to get you to that point. That's why we always talk about these players making sure that you're handling your business on the field, yet still off the field. Because you get to this point, your hand and everything relies in somebody else's.
You look at T.O. T.O.'s out there, and you know everybody looks at his numbers. And I don't think anyone argues that his numbers are certainly Hall of Fame worthy.
Correct.
But he's got all that other baggage, you know. And, you know, it's that old line, you know, be careful how you treat people on the way up because you're going to see them on the way back down.
And it's funny that you say that when, you know, now being an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl with, you know, with the Finsiders the last couple of years, you hang around the media a whole lot. Yeah. So, you know, I met a lot of those guys while I was out there and it was like, hey, you know, I have a Hall of Fame, but I'm like, you have a Hall of Fame vote. Yeah. Okay, I got you. I understand. And then they would show me a list and they would ask me, like, Sam, out of these guys, what do you think about these guys, this, that? Or you was a teammate of this person. What do you think this? So they're getting information from the players and the teammates that you played with. And now they're trying to build their case of why they should be voting for you when it comes time. So just like you're saying, when you're going up, you're definitely going to see them coming down.
Coming down. And look, if you treat people like garbage and that guy happens to be one of those guys that's representing your team as you vote, then you get the devil's got to do at that point. Then they make the decision. I remember a couple of years ago, we were in Pittsburgh and there was a rain delay. And I was up in the press box, and Peter King was in there. Mm-hmm. Peter King from the Monday Morning Quarterback, Sports Illustrated, all the things that he's done. He's been a writer for the National Football League, you know, writing about the National Football League for decades now. And he called me over, and we sat down, and we talked about the merits of Bob Kuchenberg. Should he be in the Hall?
Right.
And in, because Peter's one of those guys, he's not representing a team.
Correct.
He's one of the at-large voters out there that, you know, really has no connection to everybody. And it was really the first time that I sat down with somebody that was a voter and while they just kind of picked your brain, hey, what did you think about him? Why do you think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame? Why do you think maybe he doesn't? And all those types of things. So that was really my first introduction. But then sitting here with Harvey last week and talking about it kind of clarified a lot of things. And there's guys out there, the guy that, you know, Harvey talked about, I don't know if this is for public consumption, but it's going to be after I get done with this. But he says, you know, the guy that represents Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns, you know, he is never going to vote. He was never going to put in a good word for Art Modell.
Correct.
For moving that football team as long as he's alive. So the chances of Art Modell getting in are slim to none, because when you got the guy that's representing you that doesn't think you should be a Hall of Famer, you think those other guys are going to jump in and cast that vote.
And it's funny that you say that, and listening to Harvey, the way that he broke it down, and that was one of the things that he talked about. Yeah. He was like, God, that's going to be a problem for him forever. Because he is the person that sits there, and Armando did an awesome job. Yep. You know, we have other people, other media guys that was here that was feeding him little nuggets that he didn't really have. So it was a lot of other people from the outside really selling JT on why he should be in the Hall of Fame, and even the first ballot Hall of Fame. You look at all those different numbers, things that he didn't even know. I didn't even know when we was playing. And then all of a sudden, he was like, man, this guy's in the top – categories and all of these different things in a shorter period of time than a lot of those players.
Well, they talk a lot about the sack numbers and where he ranked in the sacks and this and that. But then you look at all the other things. You look at the touchdowns. You look at interceptions. You look at fumble recoveries. You look at all those things. And all those things.
Interceptions.
He was head and shoulders
right
above all those other guys with all the other things that he did. So, hey, you know, I wanted to ask you because, you know, you did play with Jason Taylor. Mm-hmm. You've been a close friend of his and for a long time. What did you think? What did you think when you found out that he got in? And when you watch Jason Taylor, I'm sure you saw the video that the Dolphins had in the room with him when they came and knocked on the door. What did you think during that whole thing?
Man, it's really, really tough. And you know, I had opportunity to speak with him yesterday as well. That was my first time after he was inducted. You know, I'm extremely happy for him as well as the other teammates that he played with. Listen, we really saw Kim. You were here when I came in as well. I came in the second round. He came in the third round. He worked his tail off.
Yeah.
I mean, even at the first couple of years, he should have made the Pro Bowl. But when you have other guys that's been solidified as Pro Bowlers, you have to sit and wait a lot of that time. The guy played injured. He was underweight.
Yep.
When we talk about wide nines, they created the wide nine after Jason Taylor because of his speed and his athleticism to be able to still compete in the run game. He wasn't just one of those guys that really just like he wanted to dial it up and get after the quarterback, but yet still going to the quarterback, he did play the run as an undersized linebacker.
Yeah.
But when I one of the things that I asked him, I was talking to him about, you know, the different coaches of not trying to stigmatize him as what has been potentially known what a defensive end is supposed to do, because he was a different breed. I tell people all the time, when we did our when you have to come in from training camp and get ready to run and do your 110s or your half gashers, he should have been running with the safeties in the in the corners.
Yeah.
But he was running with defensive linemen, and he just made everything look easy. But he was finally able to put it all together probably around that third or fourth year.
Well, then
he had a really good stretch.
It was funny because, you know, Zach came in, and Zach went right. Zach Big was a starter day one.
Yep.
You know, Zach bumped Jack
Del Rio out of it.
Turned him into a coach. He made him a coach after about a week of training camp. So of that group that came in, Zach was the guy.
Yep.
You know, Zach was the guy. And Jason kind of lagged behind Zach for a little while, and then they kind of, then he caught up with them, and then Jason was able to play longer and do some things, and it really began to shine in the mid to latter part of his career, where he really did a lot of damage in the National Football League and was able to just continue to get better and better and better, and that's why he's the guy that's in that group. And meanwhile, we got a question here at Fins Up number one. Zach Thomas, any chance of him being in the Hall of Fame? Guy's a 7-time Pro Bowl.
Yep.
I mean, this is a guy that, you know, when you look at guys, you look at overachievers in the National Football League, he's got to be, you know, if you're going to put pictures next to overachiever, he's certainly got to be one of those pictures in that frame there. But I think it's, you know, that linebacker position, you remember, you were here with Zach. You remember how long it took for Zach to go to a Pro Bowl? Because you had the Brian Urlachers, you had
the
Ray Lewis's, you had all those guys that he was, it didn't say anything about his lack of ability or what he did.
Yeah.
It was just, there was a roadblock in front of him of guys that had been there, done that, and they weren't ready to get back up at one bit. So Zach had to wait his turn and eventually went to 7 Pro Bowls.
Definitely, man. And you know, have an opportunity to be on those football teams. And I'm coming in from Louisville. I don't really know nothing about no Pro Bowl, Kim, man. I just want to be on the team.
Man.
I want to make it. I want that fish on the side of my helmet. Don't give me the blank helmet.
I know they're mammals. I just want that fish on the side of my helmet, man. That's all you wanted.
But these guys, when they prepared during the offseason, man, it was phenomenal. And people were like, Sam, you know, the moment that you knew that he was a competitor. We used to live right over here at the Rolling Hills Hotel.
Yep.
And we came back and forth. And we had to practice as rookies at noon here in South Florida in the heat.
Yep.
Just watching him and pushing one another, pushing us. You're Teal Green fast. I'm second round. Jason third. Yep. It just was a phenomenal relationship of watching these guys prepare. Even Zach, once we started coming in and having that, the motor that he worked with and the expectation, you know, that Jimmy set on every last one of us. Because when he picked up that phone, he talked to us. He said, listen, I expect you to be not a holdout, first of all.
Right,
make sure you get your tail in here.
Yeah.
But then when you come in here, I expect you to come in here as a starter.
Yeah.
Come in here and compete.
Expecting to come in, yeah.
And expect to be on the football field. Not only was it Zach Thomas, he threw Jason Taylor right in there as well, soaking wet, 230, 40 pounds.
Yep. So Zach Thomas, Zach Thomas, one of my favorite Dolphin players of all time. Yeah. And I would love to see him in the Hall of Fame. There's not a guy that's worked harder or deserves it as much as Zach.
Unselfish.
Now, again, you've got the junior sales. You've got all those people in front of him.
Correct.
That makes it tough at that spot. And you're talking about inside linebacker. It's a tough road to hoe. But we'll see what happens there. Hey, you're watching the Audible, presented by our good friends at Aquafina. You're watching us on Periscope. You can send your questions in just at the bottom of your Periscope page. You can watch us on a rebroadcast beginning tomorrow on the Miami Dolphins Facebook page. And a little later today, we'll have a rebroadcast on MiamiDolphins.com. Let me remind you, if you want to see some of the past episodes or archives of the Audible, you go to the Miami Dolphins YouTube channel. Miami Dolphins have their own YouTube channel. You know that, Sam?
I didn't.
I just heard about that earlier. My man Leon.
Good.
Leon's been producing the show now since August. He finally gave me a good piece of information.
Finally gave you some really good information.
He gave me some real information. Now, I don't know if this is proper. I don't know if this is the right information. It's the information that Leon gave to me.
Hey, we will see.
We will see.
I'm going to see once I go home. I'm going to go back and log in, and then I'll call you and let you know.
Leon, for the people that want to go and watch the Dolphins YouTube channel, they just go to YouTube, put in Miami Dolphins, and all the Miami Dolphins stuff will come up. So just in the search engine, just Miami Dolphins, and that gets you up there. You couldn't hear what he said, could you? You know what his answer was? What do you think his answer was?
I guess.
I can hear it right here. His answer was, I think so. All right. So anyway, if you want to see some of the old episodes of the Audible, go check them out on Miami Dolphins YouTube channel. Go to YouTube and punch in Miami Dolphins. Ray Finkel 413 at Ray Finkel 413. What linebackers are worth taking a look at? Should we draft an outside linebacker or a Mike linebacker first? You know, there's not a whole lot of Mike linebackers coming up in the draft. There's obviously the kid Reuben Foster, the kid from Alabama. He's gonna be a top 10 pick. Dolphins aren't gonna have a chance to get there unless they do something crazy moving up. But really, I'm looking at the draft at other outside linebackers, and I don't see too many of them out there that jump up out there. But there are some outside linebackers. I think the Dolphins, if they can get their chance, whether it's through free agency or in the draft, a good Mike linebacker to me makes that whole linebacking core better because you get to move Kiko over, let him play the weak side a little bit, let him be in space and do some of the things he does. But I think they need to address linebacker, whether it's outside or inside linebacker, pretty early in this draft, Sam.
Kim, this is the time of the year, and we always talk about it around the third or the fourth game. Brass upstairs have to do their job.
Yep.
This is their time right now, and they have to go out there and they have to identify. Yes, you're going to go and look at the linebacker, inside linebacker for Alabama, but like you said, he's going to be a top 5, top 10 pick. So you may not have opportunity, but there's going to be some players down the line at those Division II schools or at the Louisville's, and who's not on that on that platform or that stage to where you always have the linebacker. This is that time where these guys have to dig deep, get on the road, find those players and be able to identify them and bring them here to Matt Berg and say, Matt, can you do something with this and put him in a position to make plays? Because yet still, we sit and we talk about all the different players that's been here and left, made some plays when they left. It still boils down to these coaches coming and bringing these players in here and coaching them up because you still don't know what you're going to get until you get them here and you have an opportunity to work with them on a day-to-day basis and know their strengths and their weaknesses, being able to watch them at their practices, at the football games, that was that scheme.
Yep.
Now you have to be able to play in this scheme, and the people upstairs, the brass, they have to make it work.
You've got to be able to look at guys that come from these smaller schools and see, can they translate? Is their skill good enough to translate into the National Football League and be successful there? Or are they guys that just can play at that level, but that's it? It was funny, I was talking to Nat Moore the other day, and we talked about, and we talked about how surprised both of us were at the beginning of the Super Bowl when they announced all the Hall of Famers that had played at historically black colleges and universities around the country. And you look at small schools, Alcorn States, Tuskegee, Bethune-Cookman for a little, all these small schools where these guys had gone to school, whether they came as free agents or got drafted or whatever, and then became Hall of Famers. And we were talking about it, and I said, man, I was just shocked at how they kept coming and coming and coming and coming. And so it shows you that, you know, that there's a lot of talent at a lot of these smaller colleges, whether it's historically black colleges, whether it's small schools like San Jose State or Division II schools or whatever. They're out there. You just got to find those guys. And find, look at the kid from Khalil Mack from the Oakland Raiders.
Came from Buffalo. Correct.
Buffalo, no one comes from Buffalo. No one wants to go to Buffalo.
And guess what?
No one comes from Buffalo.
And they come from Akron as well.
That's right. Exactly.
So, you know, for me, when you look at those type of players, Bo, I think it goes back to, you look at the demographics of the National Football League and where these coaches come from. They have their thumbprint on a lot of players. A lot of players try to get out of the National Football League and go to coaching. It's a really tough profession that you to get into and be able to sustain. But yet still, a lot of these guys go back to their alumni. Well, I mean, I have a lot of players, guys, and same for you. They became really good coaches. So they go back, grasp all the information that I could have gave them, you could have gave them, JT, Nat, whoever the case may be, and then go back, but they have that pipeline. Be like, hey, hey Kim,
what do you know about this guy?
I think you need to come and check this guy out, and he's going to be a phenomenal player. And then guess what? The Chris Greers of the world, they're going to follow up on those leads, and that's how they find and they get these players that come out of these black colleges, Division One, Division Two, and make them superstars in the National Football League and ultimately go on to be a Hall of Famer. Yep. Jason Taylor, you know, before going to college, didn't really have much football under his belt, not much experience, but yet and still find those coaches, plug them in, look at –
guys see an athlete and then mold them into what they've got. That's certainly what happened. Brazil Candido. Hey, Bo, Eric Berry is in my town today. I'm not sure what town that is, but he's going to be a free agent. Should we try? Eric Berry's an interesting guy. He was out, you know, looked like he was never going to be able to play football again 2 years ago. I think he had leukemia is what he had, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he went in and went through treatment, came back, been a Pro Bowler the last 2 years. He's a free agent. He's a safety. Certainly the Dolphins can use another safety. But I just don't know how much a guy like Eric Berry, Eric's got to be, a five-time Pro Bowler, five-time Pro Bowler.
Yep.
Like that, one of the top safeties in the National Football League, still got some play left in him. I don't know what kind of money he's going to command.
Yeah, he's going to be one of those guys that's going to command a whole lot of money. He's already said that he's not playing for the tender if Kansas City placed that tender on him. You know, after what he's going through, I'm pretty sure he's very happy with Kansas City, handle his situation because they worked with him the whole entire time. But yet and still, when you come off of something like that, Bo, you still want to be secure. So you don't really want a contract for the Dolphins right now. You're looking at where Rashard Jones is and to be able to pair him as well as Eric Berry together.
Yeah.
Phenomenal backfield.
Yeah.
And now, Bo, you still have to look at it from a basketball standpoint. Players now in football is like, you know what?
Yeah.
I can go and pair up with this person and, you know, we can be a pretty good tandem. Look at all the other pieces to the puzzle and look at the trend factor.
If players take a page out of the NBA book, they can almost formulate a team if they like to.
Definitely
get their guys in there. Hey, come on over. We got this. All we need is this guy and that guy. You're that kind of guy, and become a bit of a general manager yourself. And
before, Bo, it wasn't really like that. It's always been that way in basketball because they always had time as friends and play different games together. Yeah. For us, it was like you either going to work out with your teammates or you ain't working out with anybody else.
But you know how it is in basketball. I mean, even when you're in college and you're playing basketball, you play with anybody who came in the gym. I don't care
anybody.
Where they're from, where they're from, what school they're at. They want to play ball. You got you threw it up and you played, you know. But you football not so much.
And because also you still don't want to give your little secrets away as well in football because, you know, they know that you can do this, and then they sit there and they work with you like, he can't really do that.
Yeah.
And now you go back and you plan them twice a year if they're in your division. Yeah. You know the little insides and the outs of these players. But now all of these guys, they have the same agents. They come from the same schools. They're best friends. And guess what? They don't really care about none of that stuff anymore. They're going to work together.
Yep.
They're doing stuff on the offseason for his charity work together.
Yep.
And they have a whole lot more time.
Yeah.
But
we
had to be back at the second week of March when we were playing.
Yeah.
These guys, they don't really have to come back until the middle of
April. There's
a lot
more interaction with players from different teams than there used to be. There's no question about that. And it leads to that opportunity where guys can say, hey, got a pretty good opportunity down here. You might want to take a look at this before you sign somewhere else. At the Chens, what do we know about Tannehill's injury and his expected recovery? Well, I think right now, you know, if he hasn't had surgery, he's not going to need surgery.
Correct.
I think the situation was, they said, I think the scenario after looking at it now, looking back at it, I think the scenario was, hey, look, you've injured your knee. There's a good chance that it'll heal by itself and that you won't need surgery. But in order to know that for a fact, we need about 6 weeks to see if that thing's going to heal the way we expect it to heal. So there was that whole 6 to 8 week period where, does he still need surgery? Does he not? A lot of the riders were kind of poking around thinking that he probably would need a procedure and everything. Now that it's past that period and they haven't done anything, I think they've found out that, hey, the healing that they expected probably happened. He's able to go, and so I wouldn't expect him to have surgery. And I think he's going to be ready for OTAs and mini camps and everything. And I think that's probably the best news that the Dolphins have had all season long.
20 years ago, I'd have been sitting here saying, you know, that's
done.
A problem.
Yes.
You know, you need to go ahead and get that surgery now so we can get prepared for OTAs and quarterback schools. And I really don't want you doing anything until
preseason.
Until preseason. Yeah. But now, because of all the new technology, you know, these guys.
The medical
is totally
so
different. And they have a plan.
Yeah.
They, you know, being as it was the end of the season, we had opportunity to make it to the playoff. But after seeing what we saw from Ryan Tannehill and Coach Gase and the things that they were able to do in this first year, the brass didn't want to have a setback with Ryan.
Yeah.
Ryan was really comfortable in the things that he was able to accomplish. Listen, he's taken a beating over the course of his career, you know, on the field and off. But he's a tough young man. He's a smart young man. And I think the Dolphins did a really good job taking control of that and not letting Ryan get in his own way and saying, hey, I'm okay to go back out
and
here.
And hurt that thing
and then
worse
we have another setback.
Gone,
definitely.
No, I think you look at Adam Gase, and he did it with Mike Pouncey, kind of shut him down when Mike probably could have and wanted to play the last couple games, but knowing that it would probably affect him long term. Did the same thing with Ryan Tannehill, saying, hey, look, you know, I know you could probably try, you want to try, but let's shut you down and let's just worry about next year.
The best one was Cam Wake.
Yep.
Because at the beginning of the season, everybody's like, where's Cam? Where's Cam? I'm like, listen, this guy just had a major surgery at this age. Well, when I broke my ankle, the beginning of that year, we had 6 guys, and they were all young.
Yep.
They re-injured theirs because they were trying to rush to get back.
Too soon,
trying to rush it back to get some. Man, let Cam. We know what he can do when he gets on
just
the football
let him get
field.
Up and ready
let
to
him
go.
Heal up. Let him get himself back into football shape because he didn't really have an opportunity to get in football shape. He got his leg, his foot back in shape to ready to go, but he wasn't in football shape. And he was able to play those first couple of games sparingly, get in there, understand what it is. Then that bye week, then he came back after that. He was 100%
ready. They
really
did a nice job of kind of, you know, feeding him in, give him some play, get him going, and getting 100%
as a player, it pisses you off because you want to be out there.
You know him too, At Flyburn 1, High 29 and Bo, what do you think of the next Dolphin Hall of Famer? Present company excluded. I can't exclude Sam Madison as one of those guys that should have an opportunity there. I don't know. We talked about Zach a little bit. I don't know. You know, you look at Cam Wake. You know, what happens with him as his career goes on? How many years can he play? You know,
listen, the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
I mean, you never really know. Yeah. You know, they had Pat and I because Pat and I finished the same year a couple of years ago. We went in there. Yeah, we were mentioned. Listen, I would take that.
Yeah.
Out of all the thousands of players, out there, man, to be mentioned as the top 25, bro, I'm happy
ecstatic
with that.
About it,
I'm ecstatic. I mean, but there are some elite players out there that played a lot of plays and game-changing plays as well. I had some game-changing plays. Yep. You had some game-changing plays. But not knowing the history of every player coming from those that's why you got to have those Armandos to be able to go and sell for you, and definitely when your time comes up, to have all the information to make that pitch for you.
Yep. At Future Finn Staff. Might be a future coach there. Okay. Sam, how can Lippitt become a permanent starter? Certainly got a big leg up on it this year.
Yeah, he definitely has a leg up. He has his thumbprint, you know, embedded on this defense now. He has an opportunity. We've seen those plays, Bo, that he made those interceptions. Yep. We saw those plays as a rookie right out here in Davie on this practice field. But it doesn't really mean nothing until you go somebody else against another color. This year, he had an opportunity to be placed in those positions, and he came up and he made the play. Now he has the confidence to be able to play in this scheme, in this defense, and know how the play is to be made. Yep. He still left a lot of plays out there.
Yep.
So now it goes back to having a consistent defensive scheme, and that was one of the things that Coach Gates talked about. Listen, I want these guys to have the same verbiage, the same terminology, the same coaches, the same feel as they had last year and every year going forward, because they can go out and they can play fast, they can play quick, and they understand from A to Z. I need to know what the defensive line, what kind of type of stunts are they're doing. Yep. If it's strong left and I'm the backside corner, guess what, Bo? That means I'm going to have to get a little bit tighter to this line of scrimmage to get ready to make this play. A couple of plays just out of position because not knowing and understanding the whole entire demographics of the defense.
He certainly got a lot of very valuable reps out there today. Fins up one. Sam, Bo, are you guys hopping on the bike this weekend? Great charity. Yeah, Bo, Sam,
I'm ready.
25 miles. Going 25 miles. Fort Lauderdale to the stadium. Then I'm going to watch a little concert.
There we go.
Unless I start cramping up. If I start cramping up, I'm going home.
No, bro. Man, come on, man. We got to get the Aquafina in us right now, man.
Man, let me tell you what. The first time, I rode 100 miles the first time. Got home, laid into bed. No one was home. I was there by myself. Got into bed. Started cramping up so bad. I couldn't even move. Couldn't get out of bed to go get me something to drink. I had a big thing of Gatorade in my refrigerator in the kitchen. I couldn't even get there.
It's too late.
It's too late. I'm locked up, man.
Drink before Thursday.
I'm locked up.
Now I'm going to get on that 25, fifth year.
Both of us. It's a great opportunity. I'm going to raise over $5 million and get well over $20 million raised for the Dolphins Cancer Challenge going to Sylvester Cancer Research. Question for Bo. Why don't you ever wear a Dolphins shirt?
You be coming from work, man. You be working all the time. You be everywhere.
You know what? When I was doing TV, for Channel 4, they didn't like me wearing any Dolphin paraphernalia. They wanted you to be neutral. And so I've kind of just been something that's been inbred in me. I just don't do it. I just don't.
And see, for me, you know, I was always on the fence side. You did Tuesday occasionally.
Every now
and
then.
And that was our thing.
The other reason I don't do it, I don't wear them around because you know what always happens to me when if I wear a shirt that's got a dolphin something on it, someone like, hey, you used to play for the Dolphins?
Absolutely.
And I go, I did. And they go, what's your name? I go, Kimbo Cameron. I never heard of you. And then you gotta like defend yourself, you know? No, really, I didn't. I never heard of you.
I just eliminate all that.
I don't wear it. I just move on. So,
and I'm coming from home, so.
Yeah, I got you. Periscope, Bo. Sam, not wearing, he's just wearing a jacket because it's so freaking cold in here, man. That's what you want. Periscope, Bo.
Always be prepared.
Any good hidden gems in the draft for cornerback safeties that we should invest interest in? I can just tell you this. There are 15 cornerbacks in the top 100 players in this draft. Five or six of them, maybe more, are going to get drafted in the first round. There are a lot of really good cornerbacks in this draft and safeties. So look, I'm one. I'm in that school of thought that you can never have enough cornerbacks, enough defensive backs. Look at how the injury bug hit this year.
Correct.
Those guys are out there battling. They're running. They got hamstrings. All these different things that happen in those types of situations. I'd be more than happy somewhere in this draft that you don't end up with another cornerback, another safety coming to Pete. We were talking about Tony Lippitt. Look at this year. Now you go and you get Xavien Howard last year in the draft. He looks like he's going to be a really good corner. You know what? Then that, you know what that does for you? It allows you to take Lippitt and Byron Maxwell and say, "Hey, you guys go to the other side. You battle it out. Whoever wins that best man wins, and you move on." And that's what makes a football team better from one year to the next year is that competition with guys that have played a lot of downs in the league.
And also, Bo, you have young players like 1 or 2 years behind. Yep. Look, Jimmy went out 97. Sam Madison with the 44th pick in 97. Came back the next year. Patrick Surtain, 44th pick in the second round. Now we have two young guys that you can have a consistent basis that you're going to have productive play.
Yep.
And my year coming out, Bo, they had me projected to go first. I was talking to these two teams and all out thinking I'm going. Guess what? Six corners went before me in the first round. Wow. I was the eighth corner taken because they Tampa in the second round took another corner, Rondae Barber, and then I came to Miami. He was like, where did all these guys come from? Yeah. So you're going to have opportunity to put your finger on a really, really talented corner and place him in a position that he maybe could come down here. If it's the same thing that me and you've been talking about, Bo, we've been talking about what? Linebacker, defensive back, offensive line, defensive end. Yep. It's a couple of players out there that, like I say all the time, we can sit here and say, hey, this player can do this. He seems like he can come in and do that. If it doesn't fit from upstairs,
well, you know what happens? You get that guy that comes in, you draft him in the third round, you go, hey, this guy's going to be a really good player. And then somehow that guy that got drafted in the seventh round jumps up and goes, hey, that's the guy that can play right
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just a crapshoot. So anyway, hey, Sam, that's going to do it for
today. That's it?
I got to gear up, man. I got a 25-mile bike ride. I got to go in. I got some bottles of coconut water that I got to drink so I don't cramp up. I won't cramp up at 25 miles, though.
No, bro. That's an easy ride, man. That's an easy ride. This just once you get past 50, then that's where it starts.
I did 50, I think, last year from Boca. I don't know if it's 50 or 4. I don't know whatever the heck it was, but I know this. The last 5 miles getting into that stadium, man,
it had to be 2 years ago.
I was talking dirty about some people. Bro, how come we got to make this right turn there? The stadium's right there. Why do we got to go this way? I want to go that way.
2 years ago, I think I caught up with you and Nat, and y'all when y'all was doing that 100. Yeah. And I was riding. I was like, come on, man, that's right. He's like, Sam, you stopping in South Beach. I got to go all the way to West Palm. You go ahead on.
All right, that's going to do it for the Audible. Let me remind you, if you want to see the Dolphin Archives, go to YouTube. Look at the Miami Dolphins YouTube channel.
Are we sure?
You can catch out any of these. I'll say the same thing that Leon said. I think that's how it works. I think that's what you do there. Hey, are the other things on there? Are the dailies on there? Is all the grind up? Not just the Audibles on there. He don't know.
I get that. But I'm pretty sure you'll be able to get it there.
You know what? I just want to get a picture of Leon, like, and we'll just put it back. We'll put it right back here. Just put it out. Wrap it up. I got you, Leon. Wrap it up. All right. Hey, thanks a lot to all the guys in the back. Leon, Trey, Squatch, Logan, all those guys back there. Jeff, to get the thing done. Sam, always a pleasure having you on the program. I'm sure we'll see you here shortly again. That's going to do it for the Audible today, presented by our good friends at Aquafina. Hey, still got time to go down tomorrow. If you want to get in the Dolphins Cancer Challenge, you can walk on and you can get into the 5K walk run. Donate a few bucks. Every dollar helps. Every dollar goes to cancer research at the University of Miami Sylvester Cancer Research Center. So go ahead and do your part and be part of it. So it'll be a good time and check out the county. You ever heard of the Counting Crows? You ever listen to the Counting Crows?
No, I didn't.
Neither do I. Have no idea what they sing.
But I enjoy
it tomorrow.
Absolutely.
All right, that's going to do it. You guys have a good weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.